prune or not to prune. And I wondered if we could start off with your recommendations of pruning ornamental shrubs during these weeks and trees. Just some guidelines, maybe.
Well, I tell you, people get really confused about that, and I think that they just make it hard because it's not that hard, really. You can prune pretty much any time of the year that you want, anything that's pencil-sized or smaller. There are no guidelines that's going to change anything about that. But here's a couple of things to keep in mind. If you've got a lot of heavy pruning to do, we say avoid a period after July until the first frost because pruning encourages new growth, and that new growth can get hurt by the first frost that we have in the fall. And then the other rule that we follow is if you have a spring-blooming shrub or a tree, if you prune now, you're pruning off your blooms. Now, that doesn't hurt the tree, but that does reduce the amount of blooms you see in the spring. So those are about the only two rules. But if you've just got general pruning to do, this is a great time of the year to do that because the tree is dormant. It's not going to be a lot of stress on the plant, and then when the new growth starts in the spring, it can recover pretty quickly.
What about working soil, depending on the wetness, of course? What can gardeners do to enhance spring crops or blooms now for soil additions?
Well, this is a good time to apply lime if your soil needs it. So we always encourage you to take a soil test either through the extension services in your county or through private labs that do those just to tell about how much lime, because when people call us and say how much lime should we put down, there is no way we know without a soil test. It's a wild guess. You may not need anything. If you are trying to fertilize for your lawn, this is still a good time if you're growing a cool season grass. And a lot of people will want to put fertilizers away this time of the year. I mean, it's December, but the grass roots on cool season grasses, when we have warm days, are still active. And so a little bit of nitrogen can go a long way come springtime. And we don't like to fertilize in the spring anyway, on lawns, because that encourages disease and insect issues. So this is still not too late to put a little fertilizer down on your lawn, and certainly a good time of year to do lime. Or sulfur if you're trying to grow blueberries or some other acid-loving plant. You could put that amendment down now also.
Hey, what's the cheapest, quickest way for a home gardener to build out a cold frame for winter greens?
To bring plants outside and to if you're starting them indoors and you're going to take them outside to a cold frame, I don't know if there's a cheap way. I mean, plastic around a wooden frame could be done. You might be lucky to find an old home or old windows and build something out of that, but you got to be careful that you ventilate because it can heat up even on cold days if you've got glass or layers of plastic that you allow some airflow to come out. That's not something I've done a lot of on my own, starting plants from seedlings just a little bit, mainly because, there's a lot of work involved in that. And if you're not growing a big vegetable garden or growing your own annuals, then a lot of people don't have experience with that. But I think there's a lot of merit to that. You certainly can't get every type of vegetable that you would like at the local stores. You know, you're going to have to get them from seed and start those on your own. So we do have publications and things that would give you some step-by-step guidelines on how to put together a cold frame if people are interested in that.
Is the common wisdom that now is the best time to be planting any kind of shrub or tree?
Oh, absolutely. And we fight that battle every year because, the variety of plants don't become available in the nurseries and the garden centers and, in the box stores and those type of things until spring. But immediately after spring is our hot and dry summers, and that's a tough proposition for plants to go in the spring and then have to survive the heat stress. And most people, people are people. They'll plant them, and they'll water them once or twice, and then that'll be it. And then they'll call us wondering why their plant died. And so now is a great time to be planting, but, it's kind of a catch-22. The variety is not there. You can go to a lot of box stores, and they don't even have plants now because all of that space is filled up with Christmas trees. So there's not as much variety available. But if you can go to a good nursery that has a lot of stock and you can get plants now all the way up until, maybe February or so, or even into March, is still fine. I mean, Arbor Day for Kentucky is not until April, so, but we prefer to plant October through January, February.
Well, what else is there that gardeners can do to get rid of the feeling that they can't garden right now?
Well, if you haven't got around to putting mulch down, the ground is getting colder, so now's a good time to do that. That would help protect the roots so the plants as we go into winter. And boy, it changed this week, didn't it? We went from a short sleeve shirt day on Sunday to jacket and gloves day today. But so this is a good time to be sure you have mulch layer down. And usually we like to see about a 2-inch layer of some sort of a bark derived mulch. And that's any thicker than that, and you start getting into issues of girdling trunks and moisture up against the trunk where insects or even little varmints like the vole, the little meadow mouse, will start chewing on the trunks of the trees during the wintertime. But this is a good time to do that. Good time to cut back ornamental grasses if you grow those. I'm a big fan of ornamental grasses. I like to actually leave mine just a little bit longer just to have that growth above ground, until the new growth. But you don't want to wait until the new growth because it is impossible to try to trim around the new growth and get all the dead stuff out. That's hard to do.
It's hard to get rid of the silhouettes of ornamental grasses, though, even when they're done. You know, they're so decorative.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's why I like them so much. They're very, very low maintenance, and yet you can get, you know, almost 12 seasons of beauty out of them in the landscape. So, but some people need to cut those back because they just can't take it. So they go ahead and do that now. It'd be a good time.
Okay. Well, we want to. If you think of anything else that we could be doing right now, just bring it up. But let's shift to this this promotional project, Pennyryle Agritourism. With, by my count, you're approaching 30 concerns, businesses, farms, orchards, horse camps, food vendors, et cetera, in your, what do you call it, a consortium?
Yeah, just a, I think that's probably a good term for it. It's a 5-county area that is made up of these entities that have something for the public that's related to agritourism in some way, or life on the farm, or in an orchard, or in a vineyard, and those type of things. And so another way you might call that is agritainment. That's not a word used a whole lot, but it's agricultural entertainment and getting people to come out on the farm and experience firsthand, either, you know, getting to pick their own apples or see something being done on the farm. And so that's what we're trying to promote. And some of these businesses have been around, you know, for many years, but a lot of people don't know about them. So by pooling our resources and working together as a larger group, we can maybe reach more audiences and let them know about these groups that are right here at their back door.
So you're dealing with folks in Todd, Trigg, Christian, Colwell, and Lyon counties. Would you pick out, you know, just a few to highlight? I'm fascinated by Copper Canyon Ranch. It just sounds very southwestern, but it's in Hopkinsville or in the environs. Tell us about that.
Well, it's north of Hopkinsville, out Oval Road, on the way up toward Crofton. I'll tell you what's unique about them is, and not any other group that we have can say this, is that they've been a movie set for some small-scale movie operations. Have come and shot some films there because they have gone to some painstaking efforts to recreate an old western town, and you can have weddings there, you can have reunions there, they have tours there, pony rides. I guess you could have an old West birthday there if you wanted to, but it's kind of a unique setting, and it's just right here. And if you want to experience the old West, you don't necessarily have to go out west to do that, at least not any further than West Kentucky.
What about Sugar Grove Carriage House? What's that?
It's a historic home, and it's basic operation, I guess, is for weddings and big events of that nature. They host those there. And not so much of a just a drop-in type thing, more of a scheduled type thing. And it's a very attractive location. It's in the southern part of Christian County, and I think their biggest thing is having the large trees and the historic home that's there for weddings and those type of things.
Tell me about Brushy Fork Creek.
Brushy Fork Creek is part of, and you probably have heard about them, but they're a gallery and a studio. They do wood turnings, they do clay pots, but they also do blueberries. They use the wood, the native woods in their area there, to turn into all different types of things, different wood forms. They have a little studio you can actually go, and actually I believe they still do this. You can take classes there if you want to learn how to throw a clay pot, those type of things. You can sign up for classes by contacting them, and it's kind of, if you're looking for something unique that is definitely Kentucky made, because they make it right there on site from the woods around them, that's a neat studio and gallery to visit. And then when they're in season, also a few blueberries you can pick too. Organic blueberries, I should add on there.
What do you call that, the land formation that they're up on? It's almost like a plateau. It's very large, but when you go north of town, you kind of go up on the rise, and then there's that beautiful stretch.
Yeah. I don't know what that's called. I don't know if we might be a little too far west to be called the Knobs, like they have out toward Elizabethtown, but it might remind you of that a little bit. It just kind of go up out of town. I know that, and this is probably more than what you're asking, but some of our soil scientists have talked about, from UK, have talked about how the glacier, how it receded right about the 68-80 mile marker, and it's what caused the south part of Christian County to be so flat and the north part to be so hilly and rocky and a little more elevation there. It all had to do with the glacier melt during that time, however many years ago that was.
Wow.
But I wasn't here, so I couldn't refute that if I had to.
That is really interesting. So all of I'd like to hear about each one of these businesses, but of course we can't do that. So what do you guys do at the Extension with this association of the five county people?
We are kind of the organizer, I guess you would say. And it's the same. Our group is the Pennyrow region. There are other regions, the Cave City region, and of course up toward Lexington has a pretty large group. And in each one of these groups, it's usually the county office, typically the county office that has the most entities. Like in our situation, there's about 19 in Christian County, and the next number would be like five of these groups in Caldwell, and then five in Lyon County. So we have by far the bulk. So we just help organize and put them into a group. We have a committee that's made up of members that own these businesses. And in fact, we have a meeting tonight. We need to reelect our officers for next year. And then because we are, I guess, a recognized board, then that makes us eligible with the state, the Kentucky Department of Agriculture, and the State Agritourism Office to apply for grants that allows us to put together brochures. And since Extension can't promote one business over another, this works really well for us, because we can lump all of these groups together and create brochures that advertise and help promote all of them collectively, or agritourism in the region for that standpoint, or even do trails. I know you've probably heard about the quilt trails. Mm-hmm. Extension has had some involvement in that in the past years, but we can do the same thing with wine trails or farm trails, those type of things around the area. So that, I guess I look at our role as just trying to help them work together. You know, they all have similar objectives, and they're really not competitors, because when someone is coming into this area, they typically aren't just coming for one stop. They want to visit two or three locations, and if we can make it easy for them to say, wow, if I go here, these two other locations are right next door, I'll just do all three of these. That's not competition. That's working together. So that's what we're trying to do.
What a neat thing for families to schedule close-to-home vacations on. You know, it seems to me like were I to have kids to take around, this would be an ideal way to scheme how to spend time during vacations.
Yeah, and that's been very helpful too, being close to Fort Campbell, because so many people there are, transplants have been moved in from another base somewhere and are not familiar with this area. So we try to get them that information, and once they go and discover a place like Christian Way Farm, for example, then they can find out, well, Brevard Wineries is right here, and Amazing Acres is right down the road, and they can hit two or three of these places and get to discover Christian County or expand out and see what Trigg and Todd has to offer in other counties.
Who are your current officers?
Current officers are from Amazing Acres, Natalie. See, now you put me on the spot. I forgot her name.
Sorry.
Let me just say that the group, the Amazing Acres, M.B. Rowland Distillery, and the downtown Hopkinsville Farmers Market. The people that represent those three are the. I tend to think in groups more so than I can remember names.
Sure. Well, I really appreciate the time you've taken with us this afternoon and the information. And I guess we should leave by saying that people can see more about this at the website. Go ahead and do the honors on the website.
Yeah, if they'll go to Penny Ryle Farms Are Fun, then that will take them. It's actually a subpage of our Christian County Extension Office page, but Penny Ryle Farms Are Fun. And then from there, they can discover everything that we have in these five counties, or they can click the link to go to Kentucky Farms Are Fun and see what's available across the entire state and get to know a little bit more about agritourism.
That's really neat. I'm going to go buy some mulch. Thank you, Kelly.
Okay.
Bye-bye.